Amen. Let's take the Word of God tonight, and we will go to Psalm chapter number 78. Psalm chapter 78, it is a great blessing to be here, and thank you, Pastor, for the privilege and the opportunity to come. And I appreciate this morning I was in my church preaching and needed to preach there for this first Sunday of the year. And we left before the handshaking time, and my wife got me to the airport and got here. I appreciate Elijah picking me up, and I didn't know that car could do 140, so that's great, and I'm just kidding, but no, he did great and obeyed all the speed laws and everything, all right, and but I appreciate the opportunity to be here. We have loved this place and started coming to the Victory Conference years ago, and God began to work in my heart in a special way. And I appreciate the friendship with Pastor Wayne, and of course Dr. Jim comes to our church on a regular basis with the War Special Forces, and we've just had a great time together. And I thank the Lord for the influence in my own personal life, in the life of my wife and my children. And I owe a great debt to this ministry here, and like Pastor Wayne said, I do have quite a few faculty from graduates of BCM, and we're very, very thankful for that. Tonight, I want to begin in Psalm chapter 78, and I'm very thankful for this passage of Scripture because God has used it in my own personal life. We come to a spiritual awakening time like this. I have never been a part of a conference like this, but God does want to awaken our hearts. I believe that, and I believe that His Word does the work in our hearts. You know, God's Word still has power, does it not? God's Word is able to convict and convince and comfort and challenge, and that's what I'm praying this week. And I'm asking God to do a work in my own heart. And as we come to Psalm chapter 78, we're going to read a lengthy portion here together. And I want you to see a picture of our Almighty God. And we come to this passage of Scripture and referring to the children of Israel, and notice what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 78 in verse number 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law, and forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also He led them with a cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Now let's pick up in verse number 37 of the same chapter, Psalm chapter 78, verse 37. For their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned He His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath, for He remembered They were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Tonight, for a few short moments, I want to preach on this subject. Are you limiting God? Let's begin in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to be in this church tonight. Lord, we believe that this is a divine appointment that you have made to meet with us, to speak with us tonight. And Lord, I just happen to be the vessel tonight, and I want to be a clean, fit vessel before thee. Lord, I pray you'd speak through me this evening. And I pray that your word would convict our hearts and, Lord, that it would do the work that needs to be done. Father, you know the areas in our life that need to be awakened. And I pray this evening that you will guide in this service. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We look in verse number 41 and we find here a picture of an all-powerful, almighty God who the Bible says was limited. The Bible says they limited the Holy One of Israel. I want you to think tonight about a God who is able to do all things, and yet these people limited God. The ideal here is that God wanted to do more than what they allowed him to do. Figuratively speaking tonight, we find a picture of our God with his hands, in a sense, tied behind his back. Oh yes, he is able to do great and mighty things. And Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." But here we find a God who is limited. Brethren, I believe that God wants to do more in our lives, in our churches, in our cities, than what we could ever imagine that he really wants to do. But is it possible that I, or even any of us here tonight, could limit God? Meaning God was ready to outpour his blessing. God was ready to awaken, and yet somehow we limited God. And we find some things here in our passage that I believe will help us understand if we are limiting God. Number one, I want you to notice tonight the coming generation. Now let's go back in our text to Psalm chapter 78, and you're going to find often the words children, the words fathers, and the words generation to come. Notice in the first seven verses, I want you to notice, if you would please, in verse number 4, it says, "We will not hide them from their children," showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Verse number 6 says that the generation to come might know them. Do you understand tonight that God here is talking about children? He's talking about our children if God has blessed you with children, but he's also talking to all of us for the generation to come. There is a coming generation. When I look in my church, I see young men and young ladies that are growing in their faith, and I think about what God wants to do with the coming generation. I think about what God desires to do. The Lord has opened a door for our church to have a Bible club, and we're privileged to be able to have a Bible club in a very rural school. They literally let me come in every Friday during lunchtime to hold a Bible club. It's been amazing what God has done in that school. And I'll tell you, every Friday when I'm in there preaching and I look at all of these 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, I think to myself, I wonder what God wants to do with their lives. We've seen many of them come to our church and get integrated into the youth group. We've seen mom and dads come and get saved and come to know the Lord as their Savior, because the Lord is concerned about the coming generation. And so often in life, we limit what God wants to do because we forget about the coming generation. In fact, we know that the nation of Israel was to be nothing more than a channel through whom God would make himself known to the entire world. And yet often the children of Israel took the blessings of the Lord. They saw the blessings of God. They experienced the miracles of God. And yet they did not declare them to the coming generation. Folks, God has called all of us not to be stagnant ponds, not for all of the instruction and the blessings to come in, but we are to be overflowing in our lives to the coming generation. There is a lost world around us. There are people in our churches. There are children. We have a responsibility tonight to not limit God when it comes to the coming generation. In fact, notice some things tonight that the Bible tells us. Look back in Psalm chapter 78, and we look in verse number 4. What are we supposed to declare to the coming generation? By the way, I think all of us would understand tonight that we live in a world of biblically illiterate children. Children that don't even know one verse of Bible. Children that don't know the Bible songs that we grew up with. Children that don't know about David and Goliath. They do not know these stories. I'm amazed when I preach to these public school kids during lunchtime what they do not know. I can't take anything for granted because they don't have the Word of God in their homes. They do not know the Scriptures. And brethren, we as God's people, we have been given so much. We are to give to the coming generation these things, what the Bible tells us. Look in verse number 4. It says, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come. What are the things? Here are three things. The praises of the Lord and His strength. That's the strength of the Lord. And His wonderful works that He had done. So we are to show, we are to declare to the generation to come first the praises of the Lord. You know what that is? That tells who the Lord is. In a sense, we are declaring that God is real, that God answers prayer, that God is at work and God is doing a work in my life, and to share to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. I can remember even when I was a kid, my dad sharing with me how God had answered prayer. I can remember just as a little boy thinking about God and remembering those stories and knowing, boy, God is real because God answered my dad's prayer and God worked in that situation. We should be declaring to the coming generation the praise of the Lord. But the second thing is the strength of the Lord. That tells what God can do. His mighty strength. In a sense, we are to be joyously telling the generation to come that God Almighty, He is able to work in a life like we never imagined before. I love to hear testimonies, and I love to hear how God works in people's lives. Every Thanksgiving, we have what we call a pie preaching and praise time in our church. And we meet on a Tuesday night instead of the Wednesday night normal service. And, of course, we have pie. That usually helps spark revival right there. And we sit down and just have fellowship together. But then, of course, I do preach. But right before I preach, I have people in our church that I talk to ahead of time. And I ask them to share testimonies of how God is working in their life. Answers to prayer. I'll tell you, honestly, I don't really need to preach because the greatest messages I've heard is from those testimonies of what God has done, how God has answered prayer. And they praise the Lord. They are talking about the praises of the Lord, the strength of the Lord. But thirdly, the wonderful works of the Lord. That tells what God has done. Brethren, all of us tonight, we should be demonstrations of the wonderful works of God. We should be demonstrations of the strength of the Lord. We should be demonstrations of the praises of the Lord because there is a coming generation. I think sometimes we can almost look at young people and we can almost be a little disgusted with their lifestyle. We can almost be put out with their spirit, their attitude. But can I tell you something? They are a soul whom Jesus Christ has died for. They are someone who God is interested in. In fact, getting on the plane this afternoon, and yeah, it was a rush trying to get there and get checked in and all of that. And they put me on a plane. I think it was the smallest airplane ever known to mankind. I mean, it was tight. And of course, I got my seat, and then here comes a young man about 16 years of age. And man, he had the biggest backpack I've ever seen in my life. You know, it wouldn't fit under the seat. And You know, sometimes you get on a plane, you just want to rest. I wanted to read. I wanted to go over my notes, all of that. But in that moment, the Holy Spirit began to convict me, began to deal with me. Son, you don't know this 16-year-old boy. You don't know anything about him. And I began to talk with him and began to ask him where he's from. He was heading to Iowa, and ask him his name, and began to find out some things about him. And we talked about football, of course, Ohio State, and we began to talk about that a little bit. And we shared a little bit. He loves motorcycles, and we talked about that for a while. And then in a moment, I asked him, I said, son, do you go to church anywhere? And he said, no. He said, I don't go to church. I've never been to church. And he said, in fact, when I changed my mind, he said, I think when I was a little kid, I went to church one day. And he talked about his family, a separated home, and all of that. And I began to ask him some things about the Lord. Do you believe there is a God? And he said, yeah, I think there's a God. And I said, well, son, do you know where you would go if you died today? And it's kind of a nice thing to ask someone on an airplane, you know? And he said, well, no. He said, I think maybe I'd go to heaven. He said, I'm a pretty good kid. He said, I try to do some good deeds and things in life. And we began to talk, and it was very simple fellowship together. And he was so receptive to what I had to say. And, of course, I had my Bible. And I said, son, I said, would you give me the opportunity to show you some verses? He said, yeah, I'd love that. I'd love that. I said, do you own a Bible? No, I don't have God's Word. And I said, you ever talked to a pastor? He said, no. And so I took a long time, and we went through God's Word. And I came to the end, and I said, son, do you believe you're a sinner? Yes, I know I am. Do you believe God loves you? Yes. Do you believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins? Yes. And I said, right here now, would you like to accept Jesus as your Savior? He said, yes, sir, that is for me today. And you know something I thought as I was sitting there? I thought, you know what? I would have missed what God wanted to do on that plane. And then I thought about all the missed opportunities that I've had in life. Maybe to share the gospel that I was too busy. Or maybe that I was not in the right frame of mind, that I was not thinking about the eternal souls of men. I wonder how many opportunities I have missed to be an encouragement to someone else, to share with them the praises of the Lord, to talk about the strength of the Lord, to talk about the wonderful works of God. I wonder how many times I was not walking in the Spirit, and what I did was limit what God wanted to do. You see, tonight, we serve a God who is able to do beyond what we could ever imagine, and yet it is possible for us as God's people to limit God. Are you limiting God? Brethren, this is our responsibility tonight. May it be said of the Falls Baptist Church, may it be said of Baptist College of Ministry, that there is a beacon of light here, that demonstrations from people saying, God is real, look what He has done in my life, and He can do the same in yours. That is what God has called us to. Brethren, we need more than just road signs pointing people to church. We need living signs in the offices and in the schoolhouses, in the neighborhoods, people that are demonstrations of what Jesus Christ has done for them. In fact, think what God could do in this city. Think what God can do in our church. Think what God can do in our own personal lives if we would by faith believe that God is able. In fact, I want you to look back in verse number 19. You know what they said? Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? They said, can God? These people who had saw what God had done for them, the parting of the Red Sea, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, all that they had seen God do, and yet they said, can God? Brethren, there is a God in heaven that wants to do so much more than what we ever allow Him to do. Think of it tonight, the coming generation. We have a responsibility to our children. If God has blessed you with children, but all of us have a responsibility to the coming generation that we are to invest in them. Tonight, I stand before you with having wonderful parents. I thank God for my mom and dad and the training and the nurturing and all of that. But I'm also standing for you tonight with knowing that there were other people that influenced my life. A basketball coach and a soccer coach and an English teacher, and many people, a youth director that had an imprint in my life. Can I tell you what they did? They told me that God was able to do something with my life. They assured me that God was able to give victory over sin habits. They assured me that the Lord cares and loves. And I'm going to tell you something. It changed my life because I saw from them, look what God did for them. And He's no respecter of persons, so I believe God can do the same for me. We have a responsibility to the coming generation not to limit God. Number two, I also want you to notice not only our coming generation, but our convicting challenge. What's the challenge tonight? We come back to Psalm chapter 78, and I want you to look in verse number 8. Here is the challenge. Notice what it says. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Now, before we read on here, can I simply tell you tonight, often the great struggle that we have in our heart is that we are stubborn and rebellious against God. Really, the greatest wars that we face are not really wars with people, they are wars with God. We fight God. I remember years ago, my wife saying to me, and we were going through something difficult in our ministry, and my wife looked at me, and bless her heart, I thank God for my wife. 26 years the Lord's allowed us to be married, and I love her, and she's from Georgia. She's my Georgia peach, and she's a blessing. And I remember my wife looked at me and said, honey, let God do His work. Yield to the Lord. Now, I'm a preacher, not a pastor at the point. I was a youth director, and yet I was fighting God. And in that moment, the Spirit of God smote my heart that I was being stubborn against God. I was rebelling against God. And these men and women, that generation, they were stubborn. They were rebellious. They would not yield to what God had for them. And they limited God. We read on here. Look what it says in verse number 9. God gives us a great example. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Years ago, when my two sons, and I have two boys and a daughter, and my older son Caleb, when he was just a young teenager, he wanted to get into deer hunting. And, of course, the area that we live in, there's lots of deer hunters. And so we had a crossbow and two of them. And so he said, Dad, after school today, let's go deer hunt. I said, all right, buddy, let's do it. So, man, we planned this, and we had someone in the church that had some property. And, man, we were excited about this. I mean, we had visions of, you know, 20-point bucks and things like that coming across our path. And we were just ready. We were ready for it. And, that night we worked. I mean, it takes a lot of work to get all the gear, you know, and all of the camouflage and all of everything together. And soon enough, as school was out, I mean, we had to hurry and get to the blind and get to where we could kill this mighty buck. And so we get there, and, boy, Caleb's excited. I'm excited. And we open up the trunk, and we get the crossbow. We get everything. We're ready to go. And my son Caleb looks at me and says, Dad, did you get the arrows? I said, no, son. I forgot the arrows. You know what we did? We loaded everything back up and went back home. You see, we were there ready to do war, if you want to call it that, ready to do battle, but we had to turn back because we were not prepared. Now, with the emphasis that we find in verse number 9, the children of Ephraim had everything that they needed to have the victory. They were armed. They were carrying bows. And in the moment of the battle, the Bible says they turned back. And can I tell you what they did? They limited God. I wonder how many times in my life and in your life, by the way, do you know that we have everything we need in Jesus Christ? We have everything we need to live a victorious life, to live a joy-filled life. We have everything in Christ now, this very moment. And yet we turn back And can I tell you what we do? We limit God. You see, the convicting challenge of this day is that we do not turn back in the day of battle. The convicting challenge of this moment is that we go forward for what God has called us to do. Notice what the Bible says about these children of Ephraim. Notice some things. Verse number 10, they kept not the covenant of God. Can I tell you, they were unfaithful. Oh, listen, can I tell you, the greatest place of success in life is faithfulness in the eyes of God. God blesses faithfulness. And here the children of Ephraim, they kept not the covenant of God. They were not faithful. They were unfaithful. Look what it goes on to say in verse 10. It says, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. They were unwilling. Brethren, tonight, if there is any area of your life that you are unwilling to surrender to Jesus Christ, you will limit God. I remember sitting in church and as a teenager, and the pastor wasn't even preaching on what I was unwilling to surrender to the Lord, but that's what the Holy Spirit dealt with me about. And I remember often I would stop the blessing of the Lord. I would hinder my growth in Christ. I would hinder what God wants to do because I was unwilling. I was unfaithful. And then notice, thirdly, what was it about them? The challenge, the Bible says, in verse number 11, and forget His works and His wonders that He had showed them. They were ungrateful. Can I tell you, their unbelief limited God. I don't know about you, but I don't know if there's anything more that the Lord deals with me about more than my unbelief. My unbelief. Have you ever prayed about something and God answered your prayer, and you wondered how you ever doubted the Lord? Have you ever seen God answer prayer and you recognize, I should be praying more. I should be trusting God more, because so often we limit what God wants to do. I do not want to stand before the Lord one day and for Him to say, son, I wanted to do so much more through your life, with your life, but you would not allow me. And yet the children of Ephraim, here they are coming into this battle. Here they are ready. And by the way, the battle was theirs. God had already given them the victory. They must act in faith, in obedience, and move forward. And the Lord would be with them and give them strength. And yet in fear and disbelief, they turned back in the day of battle and they limited God. I wonder how many times the Lord is ready to give us the victory. And by the way, the victory is already won. And yet we turn back in fear, in disbelief, in a lack of faith in what God wants to do. By the way, here are these children of Ephraim turning back. By the way, tonight, have you ever prayed for the Lord to increase your faith? I think it's a great prayer. In fact, do you remember the disciples? They said to Christ in Luke chapter 17 and verse number 5, they said, Lord, increase our faith. And brethren, tonight, what a great prayer as we begin this year for God to increase our faith so that we would not limit God. You know, so often people want their abilities to be increased. Maybe they want their training to be increased, but there is no substitute for our faith. Now, sometimes we might even look at people, and man often looks on the outward appearance, does he not? And we admire people for the way they look. We admire the way they can articulate certain things. We admire the ability that maybe people have to be winsome or to get things accomplished. But what the Lord looks at, He sees our faith. And I believe that's why the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, strengthen our faith and give us greater faith. And often I do pray, God, increase my faith. But then I preface that prayer with another prayer that, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Oh, tonight, may we get our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is able to do all things, the one who is able to bless like we've never imagined before, but yet we limit God. Our challenge tonight is that we would not be ungrateful, that we would not be unwilling, and that we would not be in our hearts unyielded to the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, we have a challenge. In fact, tonight, Do you see that God has called you to step forward? The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back. Can I tell you simply what they did? They came to a point to where they said, it cannot be done. I don't know what it was like for them that day. Did they walk on that battlefield and look at the army and look at the enemy? Even though God had said, I will be with you and I will give you the victory. But at some point they said, men, sorry, it cannot be done. It cannot be done. We cannot do this. And often when we look at ourselves and we focus on our strength or our weakness, we focus on our faults and our failures, we focus on what we cannot do. Brethren, let's get our eyes looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, because it is in Christ that we have the victory. I believe today that our great challenge is to rise by faith in the heat of the battle, in the toil of the struggle, in this crisis hour, and to not turn back in the day of battle. To keep our eyes on Christ and say, I believe that God is able, and we're going to continue to pray and we're going to go forward with what God has given us to do. Oh, may God help us. Let us not turn back. Let's take our Bibles and go to Matthew chapter number 13. And I want to show you a New Testament passage of where people limited God. Matthew chapter number 13. And let us look at a few thoughts here. And we'll go to Matthew chapter 23 in just a moment. But Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 53. I believe today it's almost as if the arsenal of the devil has been unleashed on this coming generation. There are things coming to this generation that have never come to this generation before. But can I tell you something tonight? God is not limited by the evil of this day, but we limit God by not faith and trusting Him. Listen, God can handle all that is coming to this generation. God can deal with all of the battles. God can deal with all of the vices. God can deal with all of the struggles. But we limit God when we don't faith Him and we do not trust Him. We come to Matthew chapter 13, and I want us to begin in verse number 53, if you would please. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 53. The Bible says, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, He departed thence. And when He was come into His own country, He taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And the Bible says in verse 57, and they were offended in Him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And let me show you verse 58. And He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. It's a pretty sad statement, is it not, in verse number 58? Would it not be a sad statement to put over your life or my life? God wanted to do mighty works there, but He was limited because of their unbelief. Would it not be sad of a church where the Lord said, I wanted to do so much there, but because they turned back in the day of battle, because of their unbelief, He could not do many mighty works there. Let's go to Matthew chapter 23, if you would please, and let's go to the very end of the chapter in verse number 37. Brethren, I believe tonight that God is not limited by His inability, but God is limited by our unfaithfulness. He is limited by our unwillingness, and He is limited by our ingratitude. Now, please do not misunderstand what I'm saying tonight. I'm not speaking of a God that cannot do great things, because He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. But we find in Psalm 78 that they limited God. They kept God from doing everything that God wanted to do. Not that He was able to do, but that He desired to do. And back in Matthew chapter 13, He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. We come to Matthew chapter 23, and I want us to notice in verse number 37, the Lord Jesus speaking here, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. I want you to look at the emphasis of what he's saying here. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. And look at this statement, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Would you notice that phrase at the end of verse number 37? Ye would not. Hear this passion that we find from God. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I had so much planned for you. I wanted to do so much through you. And the Lord said to them, he said, I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. It is a picture of compassion, is it not? It is a picture of care. And can I tell you tonight, our Heavenly Father loves us with an unconditional love. A love that says, come, I want to be near you. I want there to be a closeness. I want there to be a fellowship. Think of that hen that her wings are spread above her little babies. And there's a nearness. And the Lord said, that is what I did for you. And the Bible says, and ye would not. Tonight, I wonder, is that true in your life? And is it true in my life? That we just won't. You know, sometimes the very emphasis, Lord, I can't do that. Really, we should say, I won't do that. I can't tell someone about Christ. No, really, it's I won't tell someone about Jesus. Maybe, well, I just can't pray. I don't know how to pray. No, it's really I won't pray. You say, well, I just don't have time for those things. No, honestly, let's be honest tonight. It is that ye would not. And brethren, tonight, let us get honest before our God. Let us see a Savior who is waiting to bless us. He is ready to bless us. He has abundance that He wants to give to us. Look at our Father. Look at His love. Look at His tender care. Look at Him hovering over you and me. Listen, we do not seek after God. God is the one who seeks after us. He is the one, we love Him because He first loved us. Well, listen, I did not seek after the Lord. God sought after me. The Lord came after me, hovering over me. And yet what we must do is yield to Him. What we must do is be faithful to Him. What we must do is not turn back in the day of battle. And brethren, are we limiting God? Are you limiting God in your marriage? Are you limiting God in your church and what God wants to do through you? Are you limiting God on your job site when God can use you? I know story after story of so many men that on their job site, they did it right. They did it. They were hard workers and all of that. But they saw themselves as channels. They saw themselves looking for an opportunity at a lunch break or whenever it was to win and tell someone about Jesus Christ. And God used them. And yet I think, what if they said, no, not going to do that. And ye would not. We come to the third and last thing here tonight. Not only do we see our coming generation, we have a responsibility to our children and the generation to come. We see this convicting challenge, but number three, we see a compelling confidence. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 78, would you please, in closing. And I want you to notice what the Bible tells us in verse number 12. Brethren, we limit God by our lack of confidence in Him. We limit Him. I remember the day that I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ to do whatever God wanted me to do. I'll never forget that day. I was a senior in high school, and I went to the academy at our church there, and I remember I was backwards and shy. I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee. I loved my English teacher, but I didn't know how to speak really good English. And, you know, she had a good influence. I didn't listen to her very well. But I remember the Lord began to burden my heart about preaching. And I remember the arguing that I did with God in my heart. Lord, I cannot do that. Lord, you saw me in speech class and it was bad. Lord, I don't think this is a good idea. Lord, there are others much more qualified to do this than me. And I'll just be very honest with you. I still believe that in my heart often. And yet God was pressing on my heart. And I remember being at a teen rally at our church. I was working and I was trying to get off work. And I came in right when the preaching started. I had to sit in the back of the auditorium. But it felt like I was the only one in the building that night. And God was pressing my heart. And by the way, it was conviction because it was His love that was coming to me. In a sense, it was, "Son, I love you. I have a plan for you. Yield to me." And I remember that night arguing and battling in my heart, "Lord, I can't do it." And finally, when the invitation was given, I came and I found a place. Nobody even knew that I was praying this. There was lots of teens at the altar. But that night, I'll never forget that night, I simply said to the Lord, "Lord, I cannot do this, but if you will help me, then I will surrender to whatever you want." And you know something I remember that night? God gave me a peace. Now, I know the first time I preached, it didn't seem like I had peace. And it didn't seem like maybe the Lord had called me. But can I tell you something tonight? I just believe that God was able. And brethren, tonight, the emphasis here is not, "Hey, well, I want you to look at yourself. You're able." No, we are not able, but He is able. Tonight, the emphasis is to get our eyes off of our failures, to get our eyes off of our insecurities, to get our eyes off of where we have failed in our Christian life, and to look unto the faithful one, to look unto the one who is tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, to look unto Him who is able. So tonight we end with our compelling confidence. We're back in Psalm chapter 78 and we look in verse number 12. Notice what the Bible says. "Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan." Can you imagine what those people saw? Marvelous things. Verse 13, "He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand as a heap." I don't think most of us can even comprehend what that was when the children of Israel crossed. I don't even think we can comprehend it. We're talking a few million people is what commentators tell us. Can you imagine what it was like that day? Verse 14, "In the daytime also He led them with the cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers." And look at this. "And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" You know what they said? They said, "Are you sure God is able? Are you sure that the Lord is able to meet our need?" And yet all that they saw, and brethren, tonight, I have saw a lot of what God has done. I have heard a lot of preaching. I've experienced the blessing of the Lord. I have known answered prayer, and so have you. We have experienced marvelous things have we experienced from God. And yet so often we say, "God, can you do that? God, can you work in my family? God can." My grandfather was a lost man, and I was his only grandson. I love my papaw in Knoxville, Tennessee, and my papa was one of those papos that he was a great papo because he bought me all the dangerous things that my mama didn't want me to have, you know. He was a great grandfather, you know. I remember coming home one time with a switchblade. My mom said, "Where'd you get that?" "Papa gave it to me," you know. He bought me my first motorcycle, a little Honda 50. I about killed myself through that thing. He gave me my first semi-automatic rifle without ever asking my mom and dad. That was a great grandfather, you know. I mean, that's great. I mean, he gave me little M80 sticks of dynamite. It's a wonder I'm alive today. But my papa was lost. Lost and without Jesus. And I love my papa. He called me Hank. My name is, my mom and dad called me Aaron, and he loved Hank Aaron baseball, so he called me Hank. He never called me Aaron, not one day of his life. And I would tell him, "Papa, I want you to know Jesus." My grandfather would say, "Hank, I'll take care of that one day. Don't worry about me." I remember the day we got the call that Papa had an aneurysm in his stomach, slumped over in his Toyota truck that he loved so much, and someone found him, and they thought he was dead. They called the ambulance and brought him to the hospital, and the doctor said there's no hope. But they did an emergency surgery. I remember coming home that night, and I knew Papa was lost. And I remember saying to myself, "Lord, I don't want Papa to die. I want Papa to know you." I remember together as a family, we gathered hands together. You knew it was spiritual because I held my sister's hand, you know, and so I knew revival was getting ready to break out. And we sat there. I'll never forget that day. The emotion, the thought of my grandfather dying and going to hell. And I remember praying and begging God. And I wasn't much of a Christian at that point, and my walk with the Lord was very limited. But I remember saying, "Oh God, spare Papa's life. Spare him that he may be saved." I remember the next day, he was critical. It was not, did not think that he would live. But a few days later, Papa woke up. It was a miracle. I remember going to see him in the hospital, and I remember looking at him, and he said, "Hey, Hank, how you doing?" I said, "Hey, Papa." And everybody was out of the room, and I said, "Papa, God spared your life so that you could get saved." And of course, in his old way, he said, "Hank, I got it all taken care of. I'm stronger than you think." And I was so burdened for my grandfather. I'll never forget the day in his late 70s, almost 80 years of age, that Papa went into the hospital. And at this time, I was a youth pastor in Illinois and far away from Knoxville, Tennessee, and I could not come. But I remember my dad calling me and saying, "Son, pray for Papa. He's in the hospital. It's not good." And I remember thinking, "Lord, I know you're able. And I know that yet my grandfather must come to you by faith and be willing to accept you." And boy, I remember my dad said, "Son, pray. And pray for Papa." And boy, we prayed. My dad sent the pastor up there, the youth pastor up there, the janitor up there, the bus worker, I mean, anybody he could that would go and just read scripture to my grandfather, people that my Papa didn't even know. And finally, on the fifth day of my Papa being in the hospital, my dad walked in. My Papa, of almost 80 years of age, said, "Son, I want you to know I trusted Jesus today as my Savior." Amen. I want to tell you something. I had gotten to the place to where I just said, "Lord, I don't think it's able. I don't think it'll ever happen. I don't think it'll ever take place." And yet, in my faithlessness, God still heard our prayer. Brethren, today we serve a God who can. You say, "What can he do?" He can do anything. There is nothing too hard for the Lord, and yet we limit God. And brethren, tonight, our confidence. Do you know tonight that you and I do not exhaust our God? That there is no prayer that we can ever pray to God to ever exhaust him? And yet tonight, can we not have the confidence? And, you know, I did a study one time on the word marvel and how Jesus marveled. He marveled often at their unbelief, but then he marveled at times with their great faith. And I pray that God can look at your life and God can look at my life and God can see that we have great faith in what he is able to do. Brethren, we glorify God by expecting great things from him. We glorify God by believing that God can. And tonight, I'm reminded of Psalm 81:10 that says, "Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." Brethren, tonight, are there areas in your life where you are limiting God? Where you have almost decided that it's not possible? I had teens in my teen group as a youth pastor that I thought, I pray for them and want to help them, but I don't think they'll ever do anything for the Lord. And some of them today are serving Jesus Christ because God is able to do great and mighty things. And brethren, let us not limit God with our children, with our spouses, with our family, with our influence that God has given to us tonight. Listen, God has placed you in positions of leadership. He's placed you in places where you can influence and tell others of Jesus Christ. But I wonder how many times we limit God. We limit what God can do. We, in a sense, God is willing, God is able to use us, and He is all-powerful and almighty, and yet we limit God by our disbelief. Brethren, the great people of the earth today are those who allow the Lord to be great in their lives. Tonight, are you limiting God?